Why, yes, it is a Thursday. It's time to talk to the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. And Brian is all rested up and ready for a very busy week here this week after having last weekend off. And now the big showdown, KU and Oklahoma. Are you all primed and ready to go? It sounds like it's a busy week for you, man.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm completely primed or completely ready, but we're going to get there by the time 11 o'clock rolls around. We got a lot brewing this week with the KU basketball exhibition game at Illinois for Maui Wildfire Relief. And when you have all these other homecoming events leading up to the football game, and then you find out you're hosting Fox's Big Noon Kickoff, which if you're not familiar, this is the competitor show of ESPN College Game Day, and KU is one of just five schools in the last 2 years to get to host them both. Really big deal. But it adds in a lot of extra stuff as well. So I just can't wait for the game to get here because there's a lot of other duties that have fallen into place between now and then. But, it's all really exciting stuff, and what a time to be on the Kansas campus to have so many positive things going on around your programs. And the Fox thing is going to be fun because you got two former Heisman Trophy winners that will be here in Matt Leinart and Mark Ingram. Urban Meyer will be here, Brady Quinn. So it's great exposure for our program. But we've got 7 a.m. Kansas City TV hits to get ready for tomorrow morning, doing live shots from the stadium and then stuff all throughout the day, leading to a Michael Ray country music concert on Massachusetts Street. I know you and Miller are going to drive over for that, big Michael Ray fans, and should have 10,000 people on Friday night down on Mass Street with former All-Pro cornerback with the Denver Broncos, Chris Harris, up on stage helping us with the pep rally. And then, of course, we get up at 6 a.m. for the Fox Noon kickoff show the next day. So it's going to be fun, man. And I'm just hoping the game doesn't go to overtime because Steve Kincaid and I are going to peel out of there as soon as the final goodbyes are set on the air and try to make it to the basketball team playing at Topeka about an hour later to fly to Illinois. So a lot cooking, but all fun stuff and all great stuff with so much anticipation and hope over these programs right now.
Yeah, it's usually the busiest time of the year I know in regards to the overlapping when basketball starts and football season still going full speed ahead. And so it's a good thing that you were able to rest up a little bit last weekend with KU having the bye. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill in Beloit or call them at 738-5701. All right, so this is the matchup we were looking ahead. The last time KU was on the football field, they lost in Stillwater to Oklahoma State. They've had a week and a half to chew on that, and they've turned the page, or at least hopefully they have. And now they get ready for number 6 Oklahoma coming to town. I'll ask you I know the answer to this, but maybe our listeners don't assume that they do. So the first question is the obvious question: what's the situation at quarterback for KU going into the showdown with Oklahoma this Saturday with pregame at 10:30 and kickoff 11 on Z96.3 The Lake?
Well, on Monday, Coach said that Jalen Daniels was in the doubtful to questionable category, which certainly leaves the door open a little bit, but when you lead with doubtful, and by the way, usually you don't use the two terms together, it's one or the other, but I think in that point, it probably is an honest peek behind the curtain as to just how up in the air this whole situation continues to be. But when you lead with doubtful, I think that was the first word out of his mouth for a reason. And it's my expectation we'll see Jason Bean for now what would be the fifth game started out of 8 games played for Kansas, which nobody would have predicted that, certainly back in the summertime when Jalen was preseason Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. And it's just a weird deal, man, with these backs. It's such a tenuous, frustrating injury that can flare up at any time, and trying to chart and monitor the healing process of it, it's not the same as an ankle sprain or something like that where you have a set timetable. Every case is different. One night's sleep laying the wrong way or one false movement can set you back. And so I think that there is frustration, both from Jalen and, some folks that want to see Jalen out there. But in terms of getting ready for Oklahoma, it's my expectation that number 9 will be out there, not number 6. But you heard Coach say that there is optimism, that Jalen could be coming back eventually. It's not like he's out of here and nobody's seeing the guy. Like, he's he's still around and at practice most days and cheering on his teammates and going through his own rehab, whatever light stuff he can do. But whenever he finally gets the green light, I mean, it's going to take at least a week of full practicing to get back in the mix. And at that point, you know, we'll see where KU's at in terms of how the offense is moving the ball and what kind of momentum they have. But, you know, let's just understand that he may still be a week or two away, even when he's back to throwing the ball around at practice and doing more full-time stuff. So I would hope that we're asking this question again next week prior to going to Ames, Iowa, and there's a real chance maybe he's moved from doubtful questionable to just questionable at that point. But he's going to need a full week of practice in order to do that at least. And right now that's something that still continues to be a challenge for him. So as I keep saying for the last month, let's be lucky and feel grateful that we have a guy like Jason Bean. I know that you know, some of the costly turnovers late last week were unfortunate, but this is a guy that started the year as QB2 and is doing things that a lot of QB1s in our league haven't done all season. So let's celebrate that. Know that one of the best games statistically of his career came out of Oklahoma a year ago, so he's got some confidence against him. But understand that he may continue to be the guy for you, not just this week, but next. And, you know, maybe you get into second week in November and it's a questionable to probable situation with Jalen. I don't know. I mean, it truly is week to week. So I think we just have to you know, support the guys that are out there and feel like you got a large enough sample size now with what would be his fifth start that this is kind of who we are anyway. So are we good enough with Jason to beat Oklahoma? I think we can. And I think it's a much better matchup versus a top 10 opponent than the last time he was thrown out there with 20 minutes notice that he was going to be the guy. So to me, I like it. And I think that what I've seen in practice from Jason gives me a lot of confidence that Kansas can not only be very competitive on Saturday, but has a tremendous shot to win this game and beat Oklahoma at home for the first time since 1997.
Should KU fans brace themselves or be prepared, and maybe some already have, that Jalen Daniels won't play the rest of the year? Should we at least be prepared? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I know you don't know it's week to week, but should we, since there is the unknown, and Dusty, our sports director here, says it all the time, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, well, who are you going to pick to win the Big 12? Well, until KU, you know, ends their streak of 14 straight titles, you're kind of silly to pick against KU. You got to see them lose before you can really buy into that. And with Daniels being, you know, out of a lot of the games this year, is that something that the KU fan base just needs to at least, you know, hey, if you get Daniels back, that's just the absolute bonus, but not to count on it?
You know, I don't think we're quite there yet, and okay. I understand why you'd ask the question. I think this, because there's 5 weeks left in the season, I mean, almost half the year still, and we're assuming you're going to be in a bowl game at some point, which adds a whole additional month.
True.
Yes, I still think it's very realistic we see Jalen. And hopefully we see Jalen sooner rather than later. But that's hoping and that's optimism and that's all that. But even if it takes another couple of weeks to get him to where he's comfortable and could be Jalen Daniels again and not just a guy that's running around feeling discomfort out there, that would still afford you three more regular season games and the bowl game and all that. So there's enough meat left on the bone, so to speak, within this season that he's highly motivated to come back. And like I said, hopefully, you know, we're having a different conversation in a week or two, but it's not my expectation that we see him this week. And if we didn't see him even suit up this week, and who knows what Saturday's going to look like, then I think that, you know, a lot would have to happen for him to be back with a full week of practice the following week. So it's not a day-to-day, it's a week-to-week, and that's probably the best way I can phrase it. And we're just hoping that, you know, the next week of ramp up includes a lot more live activity, because until he gets a full week of that, it's hard to imagine them turning him loose, you know, in a real game setting with the live bullets flying and all that stuff, if that makes sense.
It does. Is KU, update us on the injury front. Obviously, we're talking about the quarterback situation with the voice of Jayhawks, Brian Haney, but are there any other players that have been nicked up, banged up, that are in better shape, ready to go for the showdown against the Sooners on Saturday?
Good question. I think the bye week came at a good time. A lot of our Big 12 brethren had already had a week off to recoup and rest up and feel a lot better about some of those nicks, bumps, and bruises. We needed that for several guys, and I think that there were guys that were playing hurt in the Oklahoma State game, not beyond what's safe or anything. They were just having to play through some pain, like Jeremy Robinson, who really needed that extra week. Guys like Hayden Hatcher, who've been out for a couple of weeks, needed that extra week, and he's hopeful to do a whole lot more heading into this game. And so I think there were some specific spots, and Coach talked about this last night on Hawk Talk when it comes to load management, that the first thing you do in a bye week when you're still intending to practice three times is you assess, okay, who's been doing the bulk of the heavy lifting here? Who can we scale back on the practice reps? Doesn't mean they're not out there doing anything, but they really, down throttle on what they're asking of them. And I think there were a lot of guys that you wouldn't even know necessarily were hurt. They just needed some rest and to ease off the accelerator, so to speak. And so I think that happened with a lot of guys last week in the three practices that they had. And then they came back after the Saturday off and got after it with a Sunday evening practice, took Monday off, and have been going ever since. And so some of the guys that had actual injuries are probably feeling a little bit better, but more than anything, load management for guys that were just heavily taxed in the first seven games that needed to get off their feet a little bit, that's probably where you'll see fresher legs and the most uptick coming out of the bye week.
All right, so I'm looking at the weather forecast for Saturday. 44 degrees in Lawrence, 81% chance of rain, winds northeast 10 to 15 miles per hour. Does that favor Oklahoma or does that favor Kansas in this matchup with the weather conditions?
I think both teams certainly can be effective with the ground game, but I think Kansas would have an edge if it came to that. What you don't like is if it's really sloppy and slick, it takes away some of the creative stuff that Kansas could do with an option pitch play on the edge. You don't try nearly as many of those if it's a wet track and a wet ball and all that. But I think that both these teams have the ability to go quickly and rack up a ton of points. Oklahoma wants to run tempo and throw it all around the yard with Dylan Gabriel. That would certainly be a lot tougher to do on a wet track with a wet ball. So that certainly would favor a Kansas running game that has not one but two all-conference caliber backs back there. And I know they got bottled up largely in Stillwater, and running lanes were a lot tougher to come by versus OSU than they were the week before versus UCF, and you would expect this to be a similar run-stuffing defense. But I'll take my chances on real deal Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw running at home with this group coming off a bye week, and I do think that benefits us. I don't want my description of Oklahoma to sound too much like what we said a couple of weeks ago about Oklahoma State, but when you look at the personnel around Gabriel, it's not like some previous years where Adrian Peterson was coming to town or CeeDee Lamb or Mark Andrews or DeMarco Murray. I mean, they've got big-time guys, don't get me wrong, and obviously with Oklahoma State, Ollie Gordon proved to be fantastic running back, but we talked about how they didn't have the normal Biletnikoff Award receivers that we've become accustomed to seeing there at Oklahoma State in recent years. It's kind of similar here in that Oklahoma's a very, very good football team, obviously undefeated, sixth ranked in the country, but I don't see a sizable gap in terms of what used to be. They had a different caliber of explosive athlete that Kansas just didn't have, and I don't see that. Now, we need to be better, obviously, at stuffing the run ourselves, and the linebacking play at times has been very inconsistent and has to be better for Kansas the rest of the way, and that's probably one of the biggest areas of emphasis coming out of the bye week for the defense. But I don't think Oklahoma is otherworldly, if I'm phrasing that respectfully, but at the same time, accurately. But my point is, our guys feel like they can compete. Our guys feel like, hey, we have competed with this team both home and away in recent years in being able to move the football and match them in some cases drive for drive. You'll recall the last time they came to campus was the bizarre Caleb yes. Williams play where it looked like we'd stopped the run and the drive was going to end, but he was in front of the play, reached back, took the ball from the guy. At the time, we were thinking, is this a forward lateral? What's going on here? And they ultimately go on to win it. That was the same day that it was a sparsely attended game late in the season, and all of a sudden Kansas is neck and neck with Oklahoma entering the fourth quarter, and KU Athletics decided to open up the gates and let anybody who wanted to come in for free, and they told us to get on the air and say, hey, if you're within driving distance, get down here, free football, KU's got a chance to beat the Sooners. And I say all of that to say that, you know, it's been a long time since we've beaten these guys. I was a junior in high school, to put it in perspective. I'm 43 years old now. But I feel like we've been getting a little bit closer, and there's a level of confidence amongst our student-athletes that they belong in the same category. And they just watched UCF obviously play within 2 points of these guys last week. And that's not to take anything away from all the special aspects that make this Oklahoma team great. Heck, they beat Texas in the Red River game, right? But I also told you that, you know, Kansas at full strength probably would have put a much bigger scare into Texas. And quite frankly, you know, competed like the Dickens until about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter down in Austin without their quarterback. They were only down 6 at that point. What's the net-net of everything I'm saying? Anybody can be had in the conference this year. It is so wide open. Nobody's invincible. Nobody's in a separate category. The ranking and the records certainly are impressive, but it's not like they're just housing teams and taking them behind the woodshed and blowing them out, all right? Kansas is very confident they can compete on Saturday, and it's not the same talent gap that it used to be in some of these 42-point blowouts. So that's where I'm coming from, and I think KU fans should show up excited, hopeful, to some degree expectant that they could see something great happen. But in terms of the weather and the effect it'll have on it, maybe a slight edge for Kansas if it's sloppy. But I don't know, man. I kind of wish I could see these two teams play with good conditions. I wish, for the sake of us hosting all this national coverage with Fox Big Noon Kickoff, it was a better weather day, because you don't want that to affect the attendance numbers for their 9 a.m. TV show. But we've been building arcs since Monday around here. Let me tell you, it hadn't stopped raining in 4 days. So as I talk to you right now, I'm sitting in my car with the windshield wipers going. Huh. It's been sloppy and wet all week. I hope there's a break eventually, but based on what you just said, we better buckle up and get ready for raincoats and galoshes on Saturday.
Two ways to look at what you mentioned about the Central Florida game. One would be, okay, listen, Central Florida is a team that almost beat Oklahoma there in Norman, and that gives you even more hope and expectations. The flip side is that's Oklahoma's wake-up call. Now, let me add one thing here. Last year, I went down and I saw OU and Kansas play in Norman, and Jason Bean, as you said, played very well. The problem was he couldn't play defense. And that was, I believe, Dylan Gabriel's first game back after he had a concussion, missed a few games, and Oklahoma lit Kansas up with their offense. And one of the things that stood out to me in that game is they went so fast. They went so fast to where KU couldn't substitute, and they got certain matchups they wanted on the field. And KU defensively, I think they got a pick on or a stop there before halftime, but then it still didn't really carry over the second half. What can Kansas do differently? Because Dylan Gabriel's still their quarterback, and I would argue he's even better now than he was at that point of the time a year ago. What can Kansas do to slow down Oklahoma's offense? Because last year they just did not fare well. It was a bad matchup.
Well, great question. Again, the weather could have something to do with that. If it's not as easy to be racking up all these consecutive completions and everything, obviously that'll stop the clock, but it'll reset. You're not just moving, you know, progressing down the field if you're getting some occasional incompletions. But you got to avoid the big plays. You got to stay ahead of schedule on first and second downs to force them into third down scenarios where they have to take their time and you know, come up with the right play call, because they're not getting chunk plays early in a series that just keep you on, moving on down the play sheet. You want to force them into third and medium, third and long, and really make them dial something up, because then you can get them out of rhythm. Then you can have a chance to substitute a little bit and keep guys that are fresh out there. I don't know what kind of track meet we're going to see if weather plays the factor that you laid out a second ago, but I know that it, regardless, will be Oklahoma's intent to do what they do best and play up tempo and try to see how far that'll take them. But it's definitely a factor. I don't think it'll be as much a factor as it was a year ago. And Kansas has played some high tempo teams, UCF being another one of them, just a few weeks ago here at home. So I think they'll be better prepared for it this time around. And like I said, this Kansas defense at times, times has been gashed. At other times, I think they've done an admirable job with what they were asked to do. I'd like to think coming off the bye week, as healthy as they've been in a while, with an extra week of scouting and preparation for Oklahoma, that this would be, you know, an A-caliber effort, both in terms of who you have available and what they're able to do, as opposed to, you know, playing Oklahoma State when you're in need of a bye week and you got some guys playing hurt, walking wounded a little bit. I'd like to think that that's a slight uptick for Kansas as well.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun. I'm interested in how this is all going to play out, how the weather impacts the game as well, and it's going to be – and this is the last shot. Here's the other thing. More than likely, this is the last shot, unless somehow KU's in the Big 12 title game against Oklahoma. This is the final shot KU's going to have of beating Oklahoma on the gridiron. How sweet would it be to send OU out of the conference with a loss in Lawrence? I'm guessing that's been talked about a little bit, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, that would be amazing. And, you know, not knowing when you'll ever see him again, it would probably, in addition to the scenario you mentioned in Arlington on December 2nd, meeting up in the future – at least in the next 10 years, would require a bowl meeting. So, yeah, this is your last crack at them, and there's a lot of history here. You know, the recent history, the last 20 years or so, haven't been anything that Kansas wants to necessarily write too much home about. But, you know, before that, you know, David Lawrence is going to tell stories on the broadcast on Saturday about, you know, some of the historic upsets that happened in the 70s and 80s against this team that came out of left field when you least expected it. This is one, though, that I'm not saying you're expecting a Kansas win, but you won't be just absolutely mind-blown if it happens, because I really think that they're that much more competitive, and so I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, it would definitely be a sweet taste in our mouth to not only send them out with a loss in their last trip to Lawrence as Big 12 brethren, but we'd be talking about the biggest Kansas football home win in, I don't know, 20, 30 years?
Yeah.
When you consider their undefeated record and their number 6 national ranking. So this would be, you know, as big a feather as any we've had at this point. And you kind of get the feeling that even though they've got the unblemished record and a really highly vaulted ranking, that, you know, they were really close to being knocked off a week ago. And I'm not saying they're right for the picking by any means, but I'm just saying at some point, you know, they've shown enough vulnerability. Somebody's going to get them at some point. Why not us? Why not now? Why not Kansas on homecoming with the national stage and everything going into it? Wouldn't that be special? And if it happens, you probably aren't answering me or asking me about Jalen Daniels back the next week.
Yes.
Because we'll be talking about, wow, Jason Bean led Kansas to a win over Oklahoma. And then you're full speed ahead on maximizing your last 4 games where you should be favored in 3 out of 4. And so who knows, you know, where the team sits at that point. But there's a lot of great things that can happen with Kansas win on Saturday. Certainly one of them is getting them before they leave us for the SEC, but there's more program building and good for us type objectives, even bigger than just getting them on their way out.
And the other thing about a KU win on Saturday of Oklahoma, that would absolutely shake up the Big 12 race. And now all of a sudden, you've got all kinds of teams sitting there going, you know, if we win out, or even KU's got a shot with a win after Oklahoma. Oklahoma State's still got to play Oklahoma. You know, KU still gets to play K-State. Oklahoma State's been rolling here recently, but they would have to play Oklahoma. Iowa State's 3-1, but they still got to play KU and K-State. So there's a lot that could really be muddled if KU would win on Saturday. Real quickly, before we get to off the wall, do you want to just talk about the exhibition game, KU-Illinois, and what they're playing for?
Yeah, you know, we'll have all the donation details if you tune in on Sunday, you know, the specific text to give, numbers and links and all that. But this was the brainchild of Coach Underwood and Coach Self, two longtime friends that go back to their high school and college days, have known each other, that feels like they can raise upwards of $2 million. And as Coach Self said yesterday on Men's Basketball Media Day, $2 million isn't going to go, you know, as far as they'd like it to go, because there's so much Maui wildfire devastation. He said, but, you know, $2 million here, $2 million there, it eventually all adds up. And he said if there were 100 other events like this, which there aren't, but if there were, you know, you might really have a chance to, you know, to get a lot of that fixed up. But it's two schools that know just how special this event is, and talking about the Maui Invitational, what it's meant to college basketball, you know, for decades, and, you know, how there is no event quite like it out there. And it's not just because Maui itself is so beautiful. It's the intimate setting that it's played in. It's the tradition, the history of the high caliber competition and the teams that go out there. This is something that, you know, Bill Self and Brad Underwood and coaches all around college basketball want to do whatever they can to give back to the community in Maui that have given college basketball the number one unrivaled early season event. And obviously the devastation out there is so much bigger than anything on the sporting realm. You just have a vehicle through Kansas and Illinois exhibition play in the sporting realm to give back. And I think they should exceed the numbers that they had 6 years ago versus Missouri in the hurricane relief game that they had at what was then the Sprint Center. I don't know if the fan atmosphere will be as cool because you had literally half Mizzou, half Kansas fans. It won't be like that up in Champaign. But it is Bill Self's return 21 years later to a school that he did a lot for in his brief time there. And that'll be special, too, and a storyline that's not being talked enough about because, understandably, the focus is on the release effort. But I think once we get up there on Saturday night, you know, we'll start to feel the effects of Coach Self coming home and a fan base that was probably jilted and frustrated when he left but understood. And as they've watched him go on to become a first-ballot Hall of Famer, probably have, you know, way more admiration and respect than they have, you know, hurt feelings over him leaving in 2003 when one of the Blue Bloods came calling. And so I think that's going to be kind of neat to see is the reception he gets. And when they call his name for the first time, you know, a chance to watch him look around the building now as a 60-year-old guy and think about, you know, leaving that place when he was in his late 30s coming to Kansas, you know. Kind of crazy to think how far he's come and how long it's been. But that's going to be neat coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're going to be a busy camper, so we wish you the safest of travels everywhere you're going to be this weekend. Time for the off-the-wall question. Halloween is around the corner, if you didn't know, coming up on Tuesday, where everybody needs to see the dentist on Wednesday. I'm still convinced Halloween was created by dentists. But anyway, what scares you the most? What scares you the most? Is there a particular creature or something in life that scares you? Or, you know, some people say spiders, snakes, heights, things like that. But what scares Brian Haney the most?
You know, it's funny. I wouldn't go as far as saying I'm arachnophobic. But when I was 7 years old, we moved to a new house in Topeka, and it was an older home, and it had a, I wouldn't say a spider infestation or anything, but it had a spider problem.
Okay.
And the first day in the house, I was setting up my room. Again, I'm 7 years old. I think I fell asleep on the floor. I wake up, and there's six spiders crawling on my leg.
Ooh.
Six.
Ooh.
Which times eight legs. What's that, 48 legs crawling on you? That's a lot of legs. And so ever since then, like, I'm the guy, I'm such a softie.
Uh-huh.
If there's a moth in the house, like, I'm catching it in a cup and I'm releasing it out the front door.
Uh-huh.
You know, if even like a mosquito, I'll try to, like, set free. But if there's a spider, I show no mercy to this day. And I wouldn't say I'm, like, terrified or afraid in the way you phrased the question, but ever since that incident as a seven-year-old, like, those dudes, they're going to get stomped, unfortunately. So that's probably how I answer that question.
I get the moth thing. The mosquito thing I don't get. I'm smashing those. they suck my blood. I'm smashing those suckers. A moth doesn't hurt me. So mosquito, I have no reason to be protective of mosquitoes. So that's that one I can't go as far as you did. The spider thing, it cracks me up that you did the math and there's 48 legs crawling on you. That cracks me up.
Yeah. I need to change my stance on mosquitoes. You're right.
Okay.
I need to change my
there we go. That was pretty easy. I was able to persuade you there. Hey man, have best call coming up here on Saturday and then the Sunday. Safe travels. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the time as always.
Looking forward to it, bud. Thanks a lot.
Take
always
care.
A pleasure.
Absolutely. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard. Call them at 738-5701.